This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the hack. That's Mike Ryan, the stick. Mike.
What's happening?
How are you? What the hell's going on?
I like this.
I like this too. So we are in our home studios, obviously, because of the coronavirus continuing. We were in our studio last time. Now we're in our home studios. Mike, honest to God, I think this might be the way we do it from now on. We might not ever have to be in the same room again.
if I'm lucky.
All right, so we're gonna press on and march on through this here on the Stick and Hack program, episode 21 of the Stick and Hack Show. And it's a weird time. It's a weird world that we're in right now, as we all know. But one of the things that it makes it probably stick as the weirdest time is the fact that the Masters and golf and sports and everything has stopped and has stopped for weeks. And more specifically, the Masters, which should have been this past weekend, was no more and has been moved to November, which is strange. But I think, Mike, the clouds are breaking around in the news space and around this, and good news is around the corner. Things are starting to get back to a little bit of some positive news, flattening the curve and all that stuff. As the summer progresses, they're saying that sports might come back in certain ways, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that world, our new world, looks like when it comes to golf and sports and what people can expect for years to come because of that.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the next, you know, month, 2 months, you know, around golf in general, sports in general. So it's one of those, hopefully golf has a little bit of an advantage there, but we'll see what happens. I don't know, but it's definitely strange. Well,
I think golf will have an advantage, and we're going to go through some of those things here in a little bit about what we think the game, how this will change the game.
Yeah.
How this will change the game for the normal people that are just golfing.
Yeah.
How this can change the game for the PGA as well. Mm-hmm. First up, though, a rookie story. So everybody has their first day, right? Everybody has their first day at work. Everybody has their first day of something. But this guy's first day and his first Masters probably pales in comparison to everybody else's experience.
Yeah.
His name is Billy Andrade. Is that right? Do I have that right, Mike?
No, you don't. It's Andrade. Billy Andrade.
No, you don't. Billy Andrade. I mean, it's phonetically exactly looks like that and sounds like that, I guess.
It might be Andrade. I don't know.
Who knows? Who cares?
Billy Andrade. I say Andrade.
All right, that's what we're going with, because you're the stick and you know.
Maybe we can get him on the show and have him clarify that for us.
Yeah, that'll be and then we just hang up on him. That's the only thing we need him for. We don't even want to ask him questions.
Yeah.
Billy Andrade, he played in the Masters 6 times overall, and he never finished better than 38th place, and I don't think he really cared, because he left an indelible mark in the sport and in the Masters because of his first year ever playing. This is what happened. It was 1986. Andrade, who was 22 years old, fifth year senior at Wake Forest, was named to represent the USA in the World Amateur Team Championship in Venezuela, and attached came an invitation to the 1987 Masters. So, hey, you're going to play for the World Amateur Team Championship in Venezuela, and also you're going to go to the Masters. That's a huge invite right off the bat, Mike.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So he delayed his plans to turn professional. He packed his bags that April for a week stay in Augusta, and was going to stay in the Crow's Nest. Now, the Crow's Nest, I believe, is a hospitality suite area and a room for people. Is that right? Do you know much about the Crow's Nest, Mike?
I believe it's actually a place you can stay overnight. It's like a cabin room that is there for, like, I think it's for the U.S. Amateur. Typically.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
Whoever wins the U.S. Amateur, I think they stay in the Crow's Nest, if I remember correctly. All right.
So the stairs connecting the Crow's Nest to the main clubhouse at Augusta, it's a steep set. It's about 15 on the stint meter, it says here. Andrade said he'd had a very, very excited first morning of the Masters that Thursday morning, right? And on Tuesday, I guess. And he was on his way to practice. At the bottom, he saw two doors. So the bottom of the staircase of the Crow's Nest to the clubhouse, he saw two doors. And he turned left instead of right. Now, this basically didn't mean anything to him at the time until he saw a elderly man in a sweatsuit. And the guy said to him, "Hey, what are you doing in here?"
Yeah.
And be like, what do you mean? What am I doing in here? I'm playing in the Masters. I'm staying here. Like, leave me alone, old timer. Why don't you stay in your lane, brah? And so the man said, you're upstairs. You're staying upstairs. And he said, yeah. And he said, well, the older man said, when you come down those stairs, never go left. You go right. So Billy left. He dashed away, went out to pass security guard and said, hey, just so you know, there's an old guy in sweat sack in there. And it's kind of a jerk. And the guard said, hey, Billy, just to let you know that that room is a champion's locker room and only champions are allowed in there. And that old guy in the sweatsuit that you thought was a jerk is Dean Sarazen. So one of the most famous golfers of all time and a Masters champion in his own right. And in fact, the first Masters champion,
right?
Gene Sarazen, was in the Masters locker room in 1986, and Billy Andrade, first day at the Masters at Augusta, walks in and was chastised immediately. Not only that, so after he leaves that situation, Mike.
Yep.
So that's enough to rattle anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to have somebody go, my God, that was golf royalty there. I had no idea, and he told me never go to the Champions locker room. So after that, his first week, he wrote to Jack Nicklaus and he set up a Tuesday practice round. Billy had dinner with Byron and Peggy Nelson at the home of Phil Harrison, the longtime Master starter. He played practice rounds with Fuzzy Zeller and Hubert Green. He played in the par three contest with Bob Golby and Jay Haas. And he drew a pretty decent playing assignment when the tournament began on Thursday. Andrade, who had attended Wake Forest on an Arnold Palmer scholarship, was paired with who, Mike?
Arnold Palmer?
Yeah, the king. Nice. The king had requested.
Excellent.
So
that's awesome.
Bob Golby.
I'm sure the fact that he was a Wake Forest kid did help there.
Right.
And on some level.
He went to Wake Forest on the scholarship itself.
Right. Yeah.
Listen to that week. And I mean, I don't know how you I don't know how you hit a ball the entire week.
I don't know how you care to hit a ball after that.
It's a good
point. Like, I don't even care. I've now lived the greatest week of my life.
Yeah.
It's over. I'm done. I'm not ever hitting another golf ball because it's not going to be better than this.
So, and that's the allure of Augusta and of the Masters and the heritage and the history and all of that. And then in 1986, your first week, and you run into golf royalty, who you don't even realize is golf royalty because he's in sweatsuit and drinking coffee and eating a donut. And it turns out to be a Sarazen. And then that list of characters that he played with and interacted with is incredible. So that was Billy Edrin's first Masters week in 1986 as a 22-year-old kid. And at 22 years old, Mike, I don't know how you were. I'm sure you were sophisticated and well put together, but I was a mess. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought I was the cat's ass. And I probably would have gone in that champion's room as well. I probably had no idea.
I was just happy to have a job when I was 22.
Just, at 22, I was every check that I got of my job, I would immediately go and spend it on DVDs. So back in the day, Monday night at midnight, right? All the DVD releases, new DVD releases were on Tuesdays.
Yep.
And I would go to Walmart. I swear to God. I would go to Walmart at midnight and buy whatever the current new offerings were. I think I had two copies of The Lake House with Keanu Reeves, which if you get a chance to watch that pile of trash.
I've never even heard of that ever. Right.
No, it's Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves called The Lake House.
That was the Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock era.
Yeah. Every movie had those two.
Yes.
And one of them, I still thoroughly enjoy to this day, and I'll give you a guess which one of those two it is. Maybe my question was confusing.
It was.
I hate Keanu Reeves.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so Sandra, so we're saying you're saying it's Sandra Bullock. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
We've been inside too long.
We have been inside too long. All right, so Stick and Hack Show here. We move into the conversation. It's a new world of golf, Mike. And it's a new world altogether. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that what is the changes that are happening today could quite frankly be changes that happen for years to come, and things that are just our new way. And that ridiculous saying, our new normal, and all the obligatory things that you hear people say, it is true. There are going to be changes that are made in the sporting world and in our lives that will have a drastic impact on our days for years to come. And I think when it comes to sports, that's the most telling way to say, to see and look ahead in, here's how sports are changing now because, or in the future because of what's happening now.
Right.
So football is still up in the air. If they cancel football, that would be a shock of the year. But I said that about the NCAA tournament. I said that about the NBA tournament. I said that about the Masters.
Yeah.
It could happen. Things in baseball season, they're going to be playing in an indoor dome. Have you heard this ridiculousness?
For what? Say that again.
So whenever you're listening to this, this could be very old news and we're no longer relevant. So I apologize. But as of today, the Major League Baseball is thinking about taking their season indoors to Arizona in these little biodome type things.
Yeah.
Spring training. And no fans, but having it indoors in like this,
kind
of Matt Damon movie-esque scene, and doing it, they could do that just to have a baseball season. With golf, the majors, most of the majors are canceled or postponed altogether, and we'll get to that in a second. No tournaments have been played yet this year since February, and everything is different. So this is a new world of golf. So, Mike, what do you make of all that when it comes to the future of the sport? And what does that do for golf in general?
I mean, there are definitely some things that I think are going to change, at least at a minimum in the short term, if nothing else, so that they can try and get on TV, I think, and have some way of having people watch via television. Remotely or whatever. I don't know that they'll be long-term. At least I think probably a lot of us hope they won't be long-term, but I could definitely envision there being a few tournaments that we have that are no fans, so that they can at least get them on TV. So I think that's what we could see in the short term. I think in general, in the game of golf itself, like, number one, I don't know if they ever would have imagined that they made the keeping the flag pin in rule last year, and now it's basically like that's basically the rule now. It's like you can't take the pin; you're not going to touch the pin. Period. At least from what I've seen, and that's the other thing about this is that it's interesting to me is there's no consistency right now. Some states aren't even allowing golf courses to stay open. Some states are. There's different. Restrictions out there. I've seen courses that are allowing golf carts, but only a single person in them. Other golf courses are not allowing golf carts at all, and it's all walking.
And there's some counties. So a state will allow golf, but a county, certain counties say no. There's no consistency. I agree. And now the pins are in. There's this ridiculous foam that's in the that's in the cup that bounces the ball off, or that sits the ball on top. And these are all, honest to God, Mike, over the next 24 months, we could still see.
Yeah,
we might not see any more handshakes.
Yeah,
after a round, we might not see touching the flag ever again. Which thank God, because you don't have to ask. Oh, you want it in or you want it out?
Yep.
In or out?
Yeah.
Out. In. You want it in, but you want it out. So I'm just gonna hold
I do like that at this point. I mean, where we're at, they are allowing golf. It's at least where I play normally, it's walking only right now. But I do like the fact that you don't even have to have that conversation now.
Oh God, it's one
it's literally just like get up there, hit it. I think it helps pace of play. I mean, that's the other crazy part is you're not sitting there having to ask if people want it in or out. You just leave it in, period, and that's it. You know, it helps move the game along, I think.
It's one of the most frustrating and annoying conversations you can have on a golf course is that stupid flag conversation. Now you don't have to shake anybody's hand. You don't even have to be nice. You don't have to talk to them. You can just play golf. You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to, you just play your game.
This is my dream world.
It's your dream world. it is.
I'm kidding, people. I'm joking.
No,
he's not that there's anybody watching this, but it's fine.
He hates human beings.
Yeah.
That's the point there. Yeah. How does this affect the PGA then? And how we play golf and how we watch golf? I mean, is there a thing where for the next year we see no galleries, we see no people, we see maybe perhaps no caddies? I mean, is there anything out of bounds at this point just to get, I mean, if they're playing baseball in a dome,
right,
with no fans, golf,
it's got to work. I think it's a possibility. I mean, I think you could see tournament, like I was saying, I think you definitely see tournaments with no galleries. The caddy thing, I think, will be interesting. I've not really thought about that as much, but I could definitely see him saying no caddies. So that would be definitely interesting to me to see the pros out there carrying their own bag for once.
There would be nothing better than that. And just sloughing the thing over there, and they're all hunched over, they're walking up the little hills and all that. I think
and a consequence of that could also be maybe they finally allow them to wear shorts instead of making them wear pants. Because if you're carrying your own bag, man, you're sweating it up a lot more than if you're just walking out there leisurely on your own.
Can you stop saying bag, please?
Bag.
Let's talk about the fact that one of the positive things that comes out of the coronavirus is that PGA professionals can now wear shorts. That's where you're at.
That's my thought. I've always thought that's ridiculous. I've always thought that's a ridiculous rule, is that they can't wear shorts.
All right.
It's such an old and outdated rule in my opinion. Just like let them wear shorts. It's 100 degrees out there. There's literally no reason to have them wear pants.
No.
So,
now we've got three things here. What sucks, what's good, and bold predictions because of our world now. So, Mike, what sucks about everything that's happening with golf and sports and in the world right now, in your mind?
The obvious, just there isn't any really right now. It's just trying to figure out what you can and can't do, just feeling awkward even being out in public. I mean, even when I play golf right now, where I'm walking and I'm staying away from people, I'm not anywhere near anyone. Even in my group, I'm staying at minimum 6 feet away. You get some people looking at you a little weird, and you're just like, look, you know, people've got to have a way to at least recreate or get out and walk and do some exercise, which in my opinion, I think that's part of the advantage to golf a little bit, is if you restrict it to walking, you're at least out there trying to get some exercise and get out of the house. And
I'll tell you,
I'd be so cooped up.
When you're walking and you haven't walked a course for a while, and you get to like the 14th or 15th hole, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah. For me, 15, it's about 15 where I start to, I get a little bit of the sea legs going.
And Mike, you and I are in our, you know, late 30s, early 40s here. We're not tipping the scales as far as age is concerned, but God, I mean, my hamstrings I'm feeling muscles I didn't even realize I had.
After
walking these courses. And
it's wild when I think back to when I was younger, and God, in the summer I would play 36 holes a day and walk the whole time, and it was nothing. It was like, it's fine, whatever. Now I'm like 15 holes, I'm like,
get me off this court.
Holy good God, someone get me a stretcher and get me the hell
gurney, and I need some sort of hydration. All right, so I think that what sucks is there's only two majors, if I have that right, the Masters and Jesus, what's the other major? The Open's canceled.
PGA
is canceled. Isn't PGA canceled?
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Hey guys, don't come to Stick.
I can't keep track. It changes every 2 days. They're like, maybe we'll do it. It's postponed. Who knows? Right. I know definitely so we know the Masters for sure. I don't know about the U.S. Open. That's maybe the other one.
I think
the U.S. Open may still be on.
But U.S. Open is still happening. I think that got moved. So the U.S. Open is still happening in the Masters. So at least in North America, we're still going to have those two majors. So that's good. And the other thing that sucks for me is the weather is changing in the Midwest here, and it's golf season, and we can't play or watch.
Well, we can play a little bit, but others can't.
Not everybody can.
That's
and
true.
It's just about us. This is about our members. This is about our listeners. This is about other people.
Sure.
Not just about us.
Sure it is, Adam.
All right, what's good? Let's find the good in things. What's good?
It's definitely good that I'm getting out and walking a little bit when I do play. I'm getting some exercise. That's good. I definitely think the keeping the pin in thing is good. I am a fan of it so far. What else? What do you think?
I would say there's only two things that is good. Golf is still allowed to be played in some states.
Okay.
Golf is the easiest to start back up again.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
End of list.
That's definitely an advantage. I mean, I'm hoping it's an advantage for golf is that I think of all the major professional sports, it's probably the one that they could start up the easiest without having fans and galleries. And it still be, I would say, watchable and not feel as odd, I think, is probably like football or baseball or basketball. Yeah,
it would still be with
no fans.
It would still be very odd because everything
will be a little bit, but I think it's easier.
We're talking about the Waste Management Open and the Ryder Cup and some of the things where we're getting more fans involved and there's this real kind of energy and electricity with the sport. And now it's going to be even more quiet and boring and
if they do it and they're able to do it, it'll be a little bit like watching college golf. So if you ever see like college golf that comes on where they're like, it's like the NCAA like regionals, they got like Texas and Michigan out there, like two guys walking along, carrying their own bag. There's nobody watching them. It's like their parents, maybe off of the background. That's going to be professional golf, basically.
Exactly. What an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
I would say again that watching the PGA will be like watching, and you asked me if I've ever watched collegiate golf on TV. Never in my life. No.
You haven't? Oh, no. Man. I do once in a while.
I wouldn't even know that that was a thing.
No, Big Ten Channel televises like all their golf tournaments, pretty much.
You're right. And it's one lonely kid who got some sort of sponsorship. Hey, you won a contest from the local news to carry the scoreboard throughout the tournament. Just a sad kid with his scoreboard and then some people playing golf.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What an absolute nightmare. I can't even imagine. I hope it's not that. All right. Here's my bold prediction, Mike.
All right.
Because I did some math. Okay. So the Masters is still on and is in November.
Yep.
Okay. And I think November 11th through the 15th or something like that. Then the Masters is in April, the following year, which means there's only 4 months between Masters.
Okay.
So I think that next year you'll see the Masters four times. I think they'll just decide, hey, this is easier to do every 4 months. Look at all the money. So I see
first off, it'd have to be every 3 months if you want to see it four times in a year. But I mean, that's how quarters work. But.
That's right.
But regardless, it's a ridiculous idea.
I really hate that just happened. I even started the thing telling you I did math.
Bad math. All right, so, but math.
Yeah, well, mine. I did math. So three times a year, then every quarter. So it's a quarterly Masters. That's what they call it.
It's
the quarterly Masters.
They changed the quarter Masters.
That sounds like a horse race in Santa Ana.
Welcome to the third quarter of the Quartermasters golf tournament.
Right, and it's an ongoing point system. Yes. Oh, yes.
Welcome in, friends.
Welcome in, friends. to the second quarter masters.
Yes.
In July. Yes. I love it because then it's not, it's like NASCAR. They can do ongoing points.
Oh, okay.
They have the FedEx Cup is out. There's no other tournaments.
Ooh, okay.
No other tournament.
Okay.
Except for your collegiate golf tournament. You've got Hanover College still playing golf, thank God. And then you have the quartermasters throughout the year.
I like it.
Bold prediction from Stickin'
Hanover. All right.
Maybe just for me.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
So definitely
just for you.
All right. We move into the clubhouse now. Mike, you have asked. Now, typically, for those of you who listen often, typically we play a bit of a game here, and I write it, which means that it allows me the luxury of doing something to make fun of Mike. Now, he has requested this episode to be in charge of the clubhouse and the game itself. So with no further ado, Mike, we will ask you, what is the clubhouse game on this episode of Stick and Axe Show?
So this is rules. We're going to do rules. I'm going to quiz you on some USGA rules. These are difficult. I went difficulty high on these. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Difficulty high. Why would you do that? You already know the end result here.
You know, because I can. That's why.
Are you gathering the quiz as we speak? Is this a lot?
I kind of am a little bit. But I'm trying to, I should have done this ahead of time and I didn't.
No kidding.
So I'm doing it as we speak. I've got to do this so that I get the questions and the answers. Right. So I'm going to do this right now.
Hopefully people are in traffic right now and can just wait for you to get things together. No worries.
This is not even a thing. This is terrible. I've just totally screwed this up is what I've done.
God. All right.
I love this. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the options. You're going to pick which ones you want, the answers that you think are correct. And then I'm going to tell you at the end which ones were right or wrong. How's that work? You like
we'll
that?
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. First one. The committee has not adopted any local rules. Which of the following must the player do to avoid penalty? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A, replace a ball in play that is cut or cracked. Before the round, remove from his bag a container of salve that prevents the that word is terrible. Salve.
Yeah.
That prevents the ball from slicing. Play a conforming golf ball or use a ball named on the current list of conforming golf balls issued by the USGA.
the first
so one? Which of those things must they do to avoid penalty?
The first one. They need to put a new ball in play ahead of time.
All right. We're going to go with that one.
You don't know if that's right or wrong?
I'm going to tell you at the end.
Oh, good.
We're gonna go through at the end. You're gonna answer them all, and then I'm gonna tell you which ones are right or wrong. It's called building suspense.
Right, Adam. Love it.
All right, and we're only gonna do three of these.
Thank God.
So, number two, which of the following is a breach of rule 5.2 or rule 5.5? That you definitely don't even know which rules those are, but I'm gonna make you guess. A, in stroke play, a player's caddy plays the course before the player tees off. B, a 36-hole stroke play competition was scheduled to be played on one day. During the first round, a player, having holed out on the 18th hole and completing his round, makes several practice putts on the 18th green before leaving the green to return his scorecard. In match play, a player walks the competition course before his match and practice putts on each of the 18 putting greens.
There's more.
Which of these is a breach of the rule? All right. A 36-hole stroke play competition was scheduled to be played on consecutive days. This is the last option. With 18 holes on course A and 18 holes on course B. Any playoff was to be held on course A at the end of play on the second day. A player who played his second round on course A, wanted to play more. I know, exactly. This is incredible. To play more golf and played several holes on course A following his second round. See, this is what's happening. I knew this was what was going to happen.
What the hell?
I know.
Just happened.
It's terrible. Oh, it was terrible. God. This did not work at all. We thought it was going to. It didn't. I can at least tell you, the first one that you answered, you got wrong.
Yeah.
You said, you said replace a ball in play that is cut or cracked. It was actually play a conforming golf ball.
So. You can't, you can play a ball that's cut or cracked?
You can't.
You can't replace it?
It's your choice. You can, but it's not required.
Stick an axe show.
That was so good.
Oh, quarantine.
That was the most, painful thing we've ever done.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Quarantine with my family is better than what the last 3 minutes were.
Hey, it's what we're working with here, man. We've got a, we're trying to do the best we can.
All right, Stick and Act Show. Go to stickandact.com, become a member today. My great show, I guess. You guys, best of luck to everybody out there. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you around.
Thanks, buddy. Peace out, guys.
Peace out.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.